verse 8 through verse 10. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for the study in the book of Jude. Thank you so much for helping us, and help us, Lord, to learn of the perilous days that we are in. And Lord, the times are soon, we believe, for the coming of the Lord. We look forward to that day, and thank you so much that we have that promise, Lord, that we can look for him and know he's coming. Now, Father, tonight, this preacher needs your help, and I ask you, God, to help us and guide us and direct us and fill us and use us tonight for your purpose, so that you'll be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. It's kind of a long title, but I've entitled my message tonight, "Speaking When We Don't Know Anything." Kind of what these folk were doing, these filthy dreamers, was talking when they didn't even know what they was talking about. So we're going to discuss that. I think probably some of the old-timers here, maybe the new-timers also, but you'll remember some things that used to be said. I remember when it was said, you know, a child is to be seen, not heard. Have you ever heard that? Well, when we was young, let me tell you something, that's the way it was. Whether right or wrong, I'm not saying right or wrong, I'm just simply saying that's the way it was. We went to visit Grandma and Grandpa's house. We went outside. Of course, that's where we wanted to be anyway. But Grandma and Grandpa and all of the adults sat inside and talked. And you didn't interrupt them. We live in a different world, a different day. It's amazing. You see kids running up, interrupting their parents, interrupting people. Well, you didn't do that back then. You just didn't do that. And the only thing I can say is, you know, it's something we probably ought to look at. Because children are not to carry the conversation. Children are to listen and be seen and learn. But anyway, did I start off good? Amen? Doing all right. Amen. And, you know, I just believe that's true. I just believe that's the way it should be. And then, of course, another saying I remember as growing up was, if you can't say something good, don't say anything. And have you ever heard that? Oh, I've heard that. I mean, I've heard my family say, if you can't say something good about a person, just don't say anything. It was a lot of quiet around our house. And Amen. But anyway, these were speaking evil when they did not have the slightest idea what they was talking about. They had no understanding whatsoever. And the Bible says that even through that, as they spoke evil, they corrupted themselves. I saw a sign when Donna and I was, I kind of think it was down around the Jasper area. She was driving, and I was just looking around. And it said this, I told Donna this, and here's what it said. It says, "Those who hate are like acid. It destroys the container that it is carried in, as well as those that are hated." I think that's what God is saying here. They corrupted themselves. They spoke evil. And in so doing, they simply just corrupted themselves. People who hate will destroy themselves. Oh, they will. You may not understand that. You may not think that's true, but it's absolutely true, because the person who hates, the person who always has something against somebody, really is hurting themselves as much as they're hurting anybody else. Because that's an attitude that will absolutely destroy you. Amen? So anyway, over in 2 Peter, and I want you to turn there with me just for a few moments, because 2 Peter and Jude are very much alike. 2 Peter, the second chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse number 9.
He says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." What Peter is saying is exactly the same thing that Jude is saying. He's saying these are the filthy dreamers back in Jude, and in the eighth verse, he talks about the filthy dreamers. He says they destroy themselves. They defile the flesh. They destroy themselves. They bring corruption upon the self. Peter is saying basically the very same thing. If you're still in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse number 16, listen to what he says. He says, third chapter, 2 Peter. Okay, 16, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led astray with the arrow of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The word rest, as they talked about here with the scriptures, they rest with the scriptures. It speaks of wrenching or perverting the scriptures. It even speaks about taking the scriptures, and one meaning for it was to be to torture as on a rack. You've heard how they put people on a rack and torture them. He said that's what they're doing to the scriptures. They take the scriptures and they it's like putting it on a rack and they destroy it. Now, folks, we've got to be awful careful what we do with the scriptures. We've got to be very careful how we teach the scriptures. It's easy just to go off on something, well, I think this or I think that, but we've got to be very careful. These people that we're talking about tonight was speaking out of ignorance. They didn't even know what they was talking about. The Bible says over in Matthew 20, 22nd chapter of Matthew, he said, "Ye do err not knowing the scriptures." We need to know the scriptures. We need to know what the Word of God says. And he goes on to say, "Nor the power of God." They didn't know the Word of God. We've got a lot of that in America today. Not really knowing the scriptures. You know, before we speak, we need to know a thing is true. When we was on our trip, you'll probably hear a little bit about this until I get it out of my system. My brother Herschel, out there where we was having the reunion, and I got a chance to talk with my brother, and I was talking to him, and I asked him about his salvation, and he said, "You know, Bob," he said, when we was young," he said, "I didn't realize it until here lately. I was so ignorant of the scriptures. It was amazing." He said, "Same thing that the Word of God says." And he said, "You know," he said, "I'm trying not to be bitter, and I'm not, but," he said, "they should have taught us." Now, I've told you about my experiences. I've told you where I grew up. And basically, what we knew was you be a good little boy and do the best you can and get baptized, and everything's okay. I went on for years that way. Herschel went on for much, many more years than I did that way. Ignorance, not knowing what it was all about. As he said, "I probably could have learned, but I didn't." In the last few years, he has learned. And he assured me that he was a child of God. And he said, "Bob," he says, "I believe." And in fact, he has this so desire now to read the Bible. And he loves the Bible, the Word of God. He loves it. And he just is so caught up in it. He said, "It's a wonderful book. I never realized how wonderful a book that is. All of those prophecies," he was telling me. he said, that's come true in the Bible. He said, it can't be anything but from God. Ignorance. I want to tell you, there's a lot of ignorance in Christianity today. So-called Christianity. There are a lot of ignorance in churches today. Now, my dear friend, listen, ignorance is serious business. Serious business to not know how to be saved, born again into God's family, and go sometimes for years. My brother Herschel is 66 years of age. Not real good health, good healthy. And I'm saying to you, you know, that's dangerous business, to be ignorant of the scriptures. So don't let us laugh at that and walk at that, because I'm going to tell you, many people are ignorant of the scriptures. You can be ignorant of the scriptures. Just be ignorant of them. Ignorant of what God says, you see. So we want to be careful who our teachers are. Amen. I'm very serious about that. You want to be careful who your teachers are, because you can be taught wrong. I was for many years. Say, oh, well, they're just trying to get to heaven like everybody else. Baloney. The scripture is the scripture. You better be sure you're born again into God's family. And you do err not knowing the scripture. But I want to show you what God said over in the book of Luke. We're going to jump around here tonight. But Luke, the 24th chapter of Luke. Verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoveth Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You see, it takes the Holy Spirit of God. It takes God to open the scriptures to us. In all those years, my brother did not understand all of these things, because he was not enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, that God would open the scriptures to him. But you had to have teaching, as he went on to say here, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. That has to be preached. We need to preach repentance. Now, I'm serious about this. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of people who's taken repentance out of their messages. But we must preach repentance. You must come to a place of repentance before God, realizing you're a sinner lost, and understand without Christ you'll die. And you're sorry for your sin. You turn to God and call upon him and ask him for salvation. And yes, he gives it freely. No doubt about it, but there has to be repentance. There has to be that time. And God said there needs to be repentance preached. Amen. So anyway, we see here, and I want to go over then to John, the 16th chapter. It takes God to open and enlighten us to the truth of the Word of God. John, the 16th chapter, verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Bible is just simply telling us that the Holy Spirit of God will open the scriptures to us and teach us from the Word of God and teach us about Jesus Christ. He's going to glorify Jesus Christ. I know I say this a lot, but folks, it's so important. We must uplift and glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will do that. He's not going to even glorify himself, and he certainly is not going to glorify men. He's going to glorify the Son of God. And so when you find Jesus truly honored and glorified, then the Holy Spirit is in it. And if he isn't, he isn't. We must honor the Lord. So I'm simply saying to you, how do we get our eyes open? Why was these people so ignorant? I believe, truthfully, they chose to be ignorant. I believe they wanted to be ignorant. They would not receive the truth of the Word of God, and they was living in ignorance and speaking evil of things that they knew nothing about. Going back to the book of Jude now, the verse number 10. He says in verse number 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. We know it's an impossibility for the natural man to receive the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them. Why? They're spiritually discerned. It's an impossibility for them. They need the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God to enlighten them. Your preacher preaches this all the time, but I'm trying to stir you and me to realize these people are going to stay blinded if we don't get the Word of God to them. Now, I understand there's some that don't want to hear it. I understand all of that. But we've got to get the Word of God to them before they can ever have their eyes enlightened and open to the truth of the Word of God. It takes the Word to do that. Amen? So we must do that. The natural man just cannot receive it. They don't know. As my brother spoke of ignorance, he didn't know. You got to know my brother. He's a very smart man. He's taught school for quite a many years. He run a successful business for a lot of other years. And he's done all his genealogy things that I can't even comprehend that he's done. So it's not a problem of knowledge as far as the world is concerned. It's spiritual knowledge. It's having your eyes open to the truth of the Word of God. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians, please. The second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse number 7 and 8. Second chapter, verse 7 and 8. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have been wise enough and they had known the truth, they wouldn't have crucified him. But they did. Why? They did not know. They was ignorant. And they chose to be ignorant. You've got to be careful. When you make a statement, you've got to be careful and know that that is true. To do your best. Now, I realize there's sometimes we don't know. It's all we know. But you've got to be very careful to do your best to know that a statement is absolutely true. We were standing out there at a church outside of Richmond, out in the country. And there's a church called Freedom Baptist Church. Right underneath it, it said established in 1800. One of the Ross girls, which she was not a Ross anymore, but there was three sisters there, and she, her name was Golden now, but she stepped up and she had done some research, and she said, you know, Alexander Ross went to this church. Now, my brother, being a stickler as he is, stepped up and said, Jackie, can you document that? Well, she said, I'm sure I read that somewhere. He said, I know, but can you document it? And he said, what we need to do is get into the records of the church and see if they'll let us look at them, because you can't just make a statement and said, this is the way it is unless it's documented. You know, I think we ought to take note of that. There's a lot of things we better document. Amen? Before we could just, you know, I've found a lot of times things I hear, and seemingly the people who said them really meant it. They thought it was true. Didn't always turn out like that. You ever been there? So I think we ought to document what we say. These people were speaking evil. They were saying things that they knew nothing about whatsoever. Okay? So we could fall into that same trap if we don't be careful, you see. So these are things that the lost, when it talks about the spiritual things, as I've been talking to you about, the opening of our eyes, the lost know nothing about them. They do not know. Their eyes are blinded. They do not know. And we've got to understand, how are they going to know? Well, we're going to have to enlighten them. We're going to have to take the Word of God, and we're going to preach it to them. We know there's some that won't receive it, but we've got to get the Word of God in their hearts, so that seed can be planted, so that God can then begin to deal with them. I look back to probably 6-7 years ago when I started working with my brother Herschel. That much time went by, at least. and it took a long time. Listen to me. Saturday morning, we got down there Saturday morning, I got sick in the motel room. So we was all going to go over for breakfast, Herschel and Nancy and their daughter and Donna and I. So I told Donna, I said, I'm just going to stay here. And I said, I'm going to try to get better, because we was leaving in about 2 hours to go on this trip all around the country. I mean, that country. And so anyway, it's an amazing thing. I think God allowed me to get sick. But they went over to have breakfast and sat down, and they was getting ready, and they ordered and everything. Marcia, their daughter, got up to go to the buffet-like thing to get food. And Herschel said, Marcia, come here. Come here. Sit down. She said, Dad, what are you doing? She said, sit down. He bowed his head and prayed. As Donna said, the most sweetest prayer, and prayed in Jesus' name for the food. 5-6 years ago, I'm going to tell you right now, they've been no way. In fact, not only would he probably not prayed, he probably wouldn't have paid much attention if someone else had prayed. It takes the seed of the Word of God to start dealing with people. I'm saying to you, don't give up on your relatives. Don't give up on those folk. Just keep feeding them the Word of God. Do you hear what I say? See, if you give up, who's going to do it? We preached down at Tim Russell's last Sunday night. One of the things I told him, if you don't witness to your people, who's going to? If you don't care about your relatives, who's going to? Now you say, well, somebody will go. Now listen, I know there's situations where you can't reach them. You've got to pray that God will send somebody. I know that. But if they're where you can get in contact with them, don't you think it's up to us to do it? Do you think there's anybody in the world that's going to care more for them than you do as relatives? Amen. Isn't it your responsibility to reach those relatives that are lost? And if you can't be where they're at, then pray that God will send somebody. Absolutely. Okay, sure, do that. But listen, we need to get this thing serious and say there's people lost out there. I would have been appalled. I almost feel like I can go to heaven right now. I really do. It's almost like I'm done. And it'd be all right. You know why? Because I wanted so bad for my brother Herschel to be saved. I saw my aunt saved in a funeral. I saw other ones. We witnessed others. I led Herschel's son and wife to the Lord a year ago at the reunion in Greencastle or Fillmore, Indiana. I led his son and daughter-in-law to the Lord. Now, I'm not bragging on it. I'm saying I care about my family. And I looked down there at that, as I stood at them graves, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't go back and do a thing about them. I cannot do a thing. I don't know where they was at. I don't know what they are. We can only have speculation. But my posterity, I can do something about. From me on, I can do something about. I think we need to get a hold of that thing. Amen? Yes. Oh, you say, I know, but you just got to pray. You got to get a hold of God. And you got to witness. Don't expect everybody else to go do it for you. You get a hold of God. It's your family. Amen? And set a good witness before them. Amen? You're not going to live like the devil and expect to win them to Christ. It ain't going to work. They're not going to believe you. I'm just simply saying, folks, we've got to take this thing serious. Amen? The natural man, let me give you two things the natural man has. First of all, the natural man has instincts. Everybody has instincts. I remember that Bobby and David and I were painting a house one day over in Terre Haute. And we was up on a, David was up on a kind of a little porch like this, and then there was a big long porch across the back of it. And I was over here painting, and all at once I heard David yell. He come running, he jumped from that one to the other porch. I thought he was going to run off of the porch. There was a swimming pool below there, wasn't there, David? As I remember. He did not run off of the porch. You know why? A bee got after him. He can't stand bees. Instinct took over. Amen. I want to tell you, before I was saved, when I see a snake, instinct takes over. I get out of there. I despise snakes. In fact, Pastor Jerry and I killed one today. Donna come running back into church. She said, "Bob, there's a big old snake right out there in the yard. I mean, out there in the parking lot." She said, "I run over him two or three times." I said, "Well, that probably's not going to do any good, because I said, you know, God told us the only way you're going to kill a snake, you got to bruise his head." That's what God said back in Genesis. You got to bruise his head. Sure. So his heel was going to be bruised. The Son of God's heel was going to be bruised, but Satan's head was going to be bruised. That's the only way you can kill a snake. Well, you can cut him in two, I guess. But anyway's good. But anyway, I went out there and I couldn't find a shovel. I don't know what they've done with the shovel. It's all right with me, but I found a ball bat. And I went out there and I said, and Jerry kept him back away. Silly guy picked him up by the tail and threw him. He was a 4-foot black snake. So he wouldn't crawl under the cars and things, you know. So you know what I done. I got my ball bat and I smacked him on the head two or three times. He was a dead snake. That's my instinct. When I see a snake, I say a good snake is a dead snake. That's instinct. It just comes natural. Every lost man has instincts. Whether you're lost or saved, you have those, you see. But he also has something else. He has the ability to reason. God has given the ability to reason to every man. Now, I'm going to qualify all this, but let's go over to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter, I want to start reading verse 16. He says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes." That's verse 16. "Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." God says in verse number 18, "Come now, let us reason together." You know, God gives the ability to man to reason. And when God said that, he's not saying to mankind, "Come on, let's come and together and get together and we'll come to some compromise." There is no compromise with God. But he is saying to us, "We will reason with us." Don't you realize that when you got saved, he reasoned with you of your need of Christ? He reasoned with you. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. "I've provided the way of salvation." Wouldn't it be wise to accept that and get saved and be ready for heaven? God has reasoned to him. Now, he's not going to let you go to heaven if you don't do it his way, but man has reasoning power. They have the ability to be reasoned with. I've had people who tell me that they believe there's a hell and they don't want to go there, but probably they went there. I've talked to people that you could reason with as far as the fact that there is a God, there is a hell, but they would not accept it. But they have the ability to reason. Amen? The difference is when you get saved, you now have the mind of Christ. You think different. I'm going to say this in just as a statement. If you don't think different than you did before you were saved, you're not saved. Because when you get saved, you think different. You look at things different. It isn't because you have decided to do that. It's because the Holy Spirit of God comes in you and causes you to think different. You look at sin different than you used to look at sin. I never give sin much thought. I didn't try to go out and be a horrible, horrible sinner, but I never really gave it any thought until after I got saved. Then it seemed like no matter what it was I did, I examined it and it felt like it was, is God, am I doing something I shouldn't do? It's always on my mind. Why? Because we now have the mind of Christ, you see. But these evil speakers did not have the mind of Christ, you see. They thought wickedly, you see. So what is it? Well, he calls them the brute beast. And that means they had no reasoning in them. They had lost their reasoning power. There was no reasoning with them whatsoever. They had become almost like animals. Do you know you can't really reason with an animal? Have you ever been out in a field where there is a bull with horns? And you walk up to him and you say, Mr. Bull, I would like to reason with you about this. You know, if you would gourd me, that would hurt me and it wouldn't do you any good. Why don't you think about this? And before you really decide to chase me and shove one of those horns through me, please think about that. Let me reason with you. That's not this fellow. I'm wise enough to know that that guy isn't going to reason with me. I have named my cows. Did you know that? I've named my cows. One of them, Sirloin, T-Bone, and Hamburger. That's what I call them. That's right. I say, hey, hi, Sirloin, how you doing? That's right. And they're all going that way. But you know, they don't reason these things out. Say, this guy's going to have me on his table when I say Sirloin. Animals don't reason. But I want to show you something in the book of Job. Please go back there with me in the book of Job. The 12th chapter of the book of Job. I want to start reading verse 6, 7, and 8. It said, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Listen, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee. Isn't that a strange statement? Ask the beast, and they shall teach thee. Do you know the beast are smarter, and they are dumb animals, are smarter than some humans? Did you know? Now, I know there's exceptions. I understand this. But did you know most beasts, when they have a young, will feed and take care of that young? And many humans won't. Even a beast will take care of their young. Do you know the young or the beast will protect their young under normal circumstances? Back when I was a boy working for Herschel Netzer out on the farm, he had some sows out there with little piglets. And day before that, I had gotten in that pen and took them buckets of corn and fed in the troughs. That day, I stepped across this low gate. That way was low because it was hog fence. I stepped across that, started toward the trough with a bucket of corn. And that one sow just started snorting around and run at me as fast as she could. And I mean a sow, they are mean. They can be. Now, Brother Ross didn't care about the bucket of corn. I left it for him. I took a dive. Honest to God, I took a dive over that gate and landed on my belly and on my arms and hands to get away from that sow. They'll eat you. You know why? Because she had piglets. She had young'uns. She was going to protect them. Now we've got people out here killing their kids. Killing their children. I just heard a news thing, something about this man who killed one of his children, I think drowned, as I remember, drowned, and then the other three he was trying to kill. And they were saved. One of them was in the water, I guess. They got that one saved out of there. But he was trying to kill them all? That's unnatural. See, that's a beast with no reason. That's what he's talking about here, is these kind of people, brute beasts, they have no reasoning left in them whatsoever. So a beast can even teach us. Amen? I want to show you what God does. Psalms 40. Psalms 40, I want to tell you what God does. He protects us. He takes care of us. Psalms 40, look at what he says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Well, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what God does for you. Brings you up out of that old horrible pit. Sets your feet upon a rock. Establishes your going. Puts a new song in your mouth. Amen? That's what God does for you. But the old brute beast, the old wickedness, those with no reasoning whatsoever, they're all around. They're across this country. They don't care. And God says you want to look out because that's the way it's going to be in the end days. And the word corrupt, it talks about corrupted themselves. Corrupt means to defile or pollute, to mar or spoil, pervert or lead astray. I'm just simply saying to you, he said these people corrupt themselves with all that this they're doing, their sin and all of these things. They corrupt themselves, you see. Bring corruption on themselves. Folks, listen, we need to realize that there is folk out there that don't know Christ. You think they're nice folk. See, that's the problem we get into. Oh, they're nice folk. This is a nice person. That's a nice person. I've heard that so many times. Folks, if they're not saved, they're not good. They may be good worldly wise. I've said this over and over. I preached a sermon on one time. There's none that's good. You got to be so careful. You talk about an individual. You say about an individual. You say, oh, he's a good man. Be careful with that. You don't know what he does at home. Now, I'm not trying to make him a bad man. But I want to tell you, you better remember there's none good, no, not one. Only God is good. And if there is any good in us, it's only because God is in us. No other way. Not a one of us is good on our own. You see, we would corrupt ourselves. Now, there's only one remedy, and that remedy is Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy for these people here in the book of Jude. That is the only remedy. There is none other. So what are we doing? Well, we're living in that day, folks. If a person knows not Christ, they're not good. I don't care how good they are to you or anyone else. In God's eyes, they are not good. Amen? And they need to be saved. So I just say to you, folks, listen. Let's get people saved. Let's go out there with a burden and a concern that this is the time we're living in. This is the kind of things that we see in the world today. Let's do everything we can to get the Word of God out to them so they can be saved. Let's get the seed of the Word of God sown. Amen? Let's just get it done so God can begin to work on them. Sometimes it takes time. It takes time. And God needs to work on their hearts, see. Amen? All right, let's do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to understand that there's this kind of people all over this world that we've spoken about tonight, and their only hope is Christ. And Father, I pray you give us the ability, give us the power, the wisdom we need, oh Father, to take the Word of God to them. Now you help us tonight. Should there be anyone here tonight unsaved, oh God, save that soul. Bring them to yourself. And Lord, help us as Christians to have a desire in our heart to be better for you than we've ever been before. In Christ's name, amen.